Welcome to the Cold Brew Podcast. I'm Dave Gasper, joined by Matt Carroll. You know us as the editors at ReviewingBrew.com. You can find both of us on Twitter at MKEMax13. And we got a great show coming up here on Cold Brew Pod. We're going to be talking our opening day roster predictions. We're going to be talking a little bit of a trade that was made with the New York Yankees. Who is in the best shape of their life? Because, Matt, spring training is here. Pitchers and catchers have reported baseball is back in our lives. We have seen the videos on Twitter of the mitt popping, the bullpen sessions. It is glorious. It is music to our ears. Matt, baseball is back.
Best time of the year. Football, done. Get out of here. We don't need you anymore. Baseball, come here, baby. We missed you. We'd love to see you back. Oh, I love this time of year.
It is spring. It is warming up. We did get a little bit of snow this past week, so spring is kind of, we'll see. But that snow really doesn't seem like it'll be sticking around long. But again, you never know. This is Wisconsin. It could always come back. You have fall spring, second winter, second fall spring, and it goes on down the line until eventually you hit summer. But baseball's here. That's what we have. Pitchers and catchers have reported down there in Arizona. We've got videos straight out of spring training. Jacob Mizorowski is thrown to Jefferson Caro, hitting 103. Pat Murphy is like, 103, is that his weight? And just classic Murphyism. And baseball is here. That's the sign, the Murphyisms, the Murphisms that we're getting. That's the real sign that baseball is back and we got a new era in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I guess no more of the, look, here's the deal, guys, which is,
Craig Council.
Craig Council starting every chat that same way. No, this year we're gonna get some good quips from the manager Pat Murphy. He started it off today. Like, it's, there are gonna be some classic quotes before we even get to the regular season. Like, fans are going to end up loving this guy if they didn't already. Just so much to look forward to, but that what a great way to start things off is to get a good zinger out of Murph.
Yeah, and like, we've heard him like bits and pieces like over the years, but you know, since he was a bench coach, he never really got interviewed that much, and now he's going to get interviewed every single day, so we're going to get a whole lot more of that Pat Murphy wit coming out, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. And one of the first questions asked of him is who the opening day starter was by Todd Rosiak. And you could see kind of the look that he gave him. But that's typically a question that comes from friend of the show, Adam McAlvey. And before we kind of dive into the rest of the stuff that we got going on here, we want to first just wish well Adam McAlvey. He's not at spring training this year, dealing with some eye injuries. And, Adam, we're certainly missing you on the beat. Absolutely. And we wish you the best, man, and hope you can get better soon. And Brewers coverage is absolutely a whole lot better when Adam is on the beat and covering this team. So it sucks not seeing him down there. Hopefully he'll be able to be back and working and writing coming back pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully shorter IL stint for Mr. McAlvey, instead of, he's not going 60 day or anything like that. Not a year season ending injury. He'll be back, and Brewers fans will be better for it once he's out there and writing again. And I know he's obviously missing this time too, but we'll miss you, bud, and we're looking forward to getting you back.
Yeah, absolutely. And gonna get a hero's welcome back in that press box when he does get back there. So baseball season is upon us, and pitchers and catchers have reported. But one catcher who has not reported is Gary Sanchez. Now, the Brewers reportedly signed him to a one-year contract a little over a week ago, and the deal has not been finalized. We haven't seen any sort of corresponding move. We have not seen an announcement from the Brewers about the deal being finalized. And the Brewers have not said anything about him not being there. He is not at camp yet. And it sounds like maybe there could be still some negotiations ongoing. Who knows? Maybe something popped up in the physical. We don't know for sure. But I feel like if it were visa issues, they would say visa issues were why he's not there, and the deal will be finalized already. So, you know, maybe something happened in the physical. Maybe they're renegotiating, trying to find something different. But Gary Sanchez is not among the catchers currently present at camp. And, you know, this time is important for these catchers, especially a new catcher to the organization, to learn a new pitching staff. As much time in spring training as you can get is so important, especially working with coaches, trying to improve defensively. So him missing some early time is obviously not ideal.
Yeah, and you're looking at a starting pitching staff at minimum that's going to have, you know, a couple new faces in it. You've got a relief core where the majority of them are going to be similar to last year, but you still got some new faces. Either way, Sanchez has to learn all of those guys, you know, along with the rest of the catchers. So, yeah, just kind of odd that there's been so much silence around it, of like it was announced and then just nothing since then. You know, Robert Murray from FanSided himself even saying, you know, he asked a few people about why the deal hasn't been announced yet, but just hasn't heard back. Haven't heard that the deal is in jeopardy or anything, just to be clear. So that's kind of just where we're at, is no one knows what's going on, which is the weirdest part about all of it. Not that, like, oh, there might have been issues with the physical. They're trying to hammer out some aspects of the contract, which we already kind of had some details about, so you wouldn't think it'd be that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just weird. But, you know, and until there is some sign that there's a specific reason that it's being held up, nothing particularly to worry about. I can't imagine Sanchez is wanting to just leave money on the table, especially this late in spring training, where, you know, the closer you get to the regular season, the lower the contracts are going to get. You know, he's gotten a contract. Like, I would imagine he wants it to go forward just as much as the Brewers do. So it's got to be just something hanging things up and figure out what it is. But we should hopefully see him at some point soon.
Yeah, they should. I would expect it to still get finalized. I don't think there's anything that would cause it to be in jeopardy, but just the quietness of it. There's something weird going on, because, you know, even though we see a lot of reports of players signing, and it always takes, you know, a couple more days until it actually becomes official and it gets announced and the physical is passed and everything is signed, this has been an unusually long time between when the signing was reported and now. So who knows? Maybe by the time we post this podcast, that he'll have it finalized. I feel like that'd probably be pretty typical for how things go here. But yeah, so Gary Sanchez not in camp yet, but Eric Haas is. William Contreras is as well. And William Contreras, potentially, Matt, showing up in the best shape of his life. He is reportedly showing up to camp much stronger. And, you know, per Todd Rosiak, who's down there in Arizona. And Contreras isn't the only one that's shown up with a little bit more added muscle mass. Andrew Monasterio has bulked up a little bit this offseason. And that, I think, is more intriguing to me, even though big William Contreras fan over here. Okay, we both are big William Contreras guys. But Andrew Monasterio, he is coming in to what will be a very hotly contested third base battle. And if he's going to win that job, he needs to add more power to his game. And, well, it looks like he's very much making some progress on that.
Yeah, definitely. Contreras was going to be fine, whether he added muscles or not. You know, I don't think we were going to have to worry about his performance this season. But Monasterio, to your point, like, you know, there was, yeah, he was definitely going to be in the mix, but there was no guarantee that any job necessarily was his. You've got him in the mix at third base. You've got, you know, Owen Miller is going to get another chance this spring. Tyler Black, I think, is a guy that a lot of fans, you know, have wanted to maybe see at the end of last year. You've got newcomer Joey Ortiz, who's going to be in that mix at third base, who, you know, has gotten his little bit of cup of coffee in the big leagues already, but is a top 100 prospect and, you know, is part of the return for Burns. So the Brewers are going to want to see, you know, something out of him maybe sooner rather than later. So, you know, there's a lot of guys in that mix that Monasterio is going to have to fight off. And he last year, to his credit, was one of the more consistent offensive players on the Brewers. He didn't have, you know, too many terribly long cold streaks. Ended up playing 92 games, hit .259, on-base percentage of .330, so not too shabby, but only slugged .348, you know, in those 92 games. Had one triple and three homers, and also 14 doubles only. So, you know, not a huge, huge extra base guy last year. An on-base guy he was decent at, but not an extra base guy. So add a little bit of extra pop, and hey, maybe, you know, maybe that ends up showing in the spring and ends up securing him that spot, either the starting position at third or guarantees him as one of the main utility guys on the team because he can play multiple positions for the Brewers. Yeah. So, yeah, including it'll be interesting shortstop. To see how that comes out.
Yeah, and he can play shortstop as well. So a utility infielder is definitely a potential fallback for Monasterio. But, yeah, he needed to add more pop. He needed to add more power into his bat with just those three home runs. And especially if he's going to be battling for the third base job, third base is a power hitting position. Tyler Black hit 18 home runs last season and he stole 55 bases while just putting up monster numbers across the minor leagues. Tyler Black isn't exactly known for his power, but he still also slugged 18 home runs last year. So, you know, he's got pop as well. Joey Ortiz hit 9 home runs last year, but he had 19 the year before. So there's a bit more power potential perhaps with Ortiz. But again, Ortiz still not known for his power. That's not really his big thing. The glove is the big thing with Ortiz. So it's going to be tough because the Brewers have a lot invested in Black and in Joey Ortiz based on the draft capital they used on Black and the trade that they made to get Ortiz. So those guys are going to get opportunities at the big league level. Monasterio, he did really well last season in those 92 games, but it was not a high investment. It was not a big investment they made in Monasterio. So if he's going to hold off these guys that the club has invested a lot in, he's going to have to really outplay them. And in order to do that, he is going to need to add power to his profile. And showing up in the camp in the best shape of his life is a great first step. Obviously, we have not seen any spring training games yet. We haven't seen any game action. But still, having that added strength is going to be so crucial for Monasterio. And it's going to make this infield battle a lot more interesting because a lot of those positions are in flux. Third base is in flux. Utility spot is in flux. Up for grabs. Plenty of battles that could be won. And Monasterio's put himself in a pretty good spot here based on how he showed up to camp.
Yeah, and you look at last year with Monasterio, he comes in and, you know, you're dealing with a little bit of an injury situation. I believe that was when Adames was hurt. But you also had Brian Anderson eventually, you know, starting to struggle over the course of the year. Bryce Terang ends up struggling a little bit in the middle and gets optioned down. So the opportunity was more available for Monasterio to where he was able to step in, kind of be an against all odds guy and just, you know, take the reins and run with them. This year, a little bit different. You've got, you know, the Brewers added more guys to that mix where he's actually going to have to fight for that position instead of kind of like, ooh, here's an open spot. I'm going to see if I can take advantage. So it's going to be a little bit harder for him. And it looks like he's, you know, doing what he needs to do to fight those guys off and, you know, again, kind of defying the odds a little bit to try and, you know, keep himself around. And if it happens, you know what, if it means that he's got a little bit more pop and he earns a spot and ends up being a contributor again for the Brewers, that's only a good thing because it means you have even more options as a team and that you had a guy beat out what seemed like might be better options to be even better than them. So if he works out, it's only positive.
Yep. And it is that time of year. It is best shape of his life season. So seeing guys show up in the best shape of their lives, Always very exciting to kind of kick off the new season. Speaking of, Wade Miley, perhaps not showing up in the best shape of his life. Had to deal with a little bit of a sickness, maybe a little bit underweight from where he'd like to be. But, hey, you know, I'm sure Wade Miley can – I'm sure he can pack away the food and get himself back up there soon enough. I have zero worries about that.
No, but we do need to make sure that he is back at, you know, feeling like his normal self, because Wade Miley is the number two guy for the Brewers going into this year. So, you know, he's going to be, after losing Burns and Woodruff, he's going to be a very, very important starter for the Brewers, as opposed to last year when he came as in as number four. Being number two, they're going to be relying heavily on him. So make sure eat those carbs, start carbo loading, lots of pasta, whatever you got to do, Wade. But
get that Louisiana Cajun food, get that Cajun food in there for him. Absolutely.
That's right.
So Wade Miley, he's going to be certainly a very big part of this team. And the previous number two in this rotation, Wade Miley's the number two currently behind Freddie Peralta. The previous number two was Brandon Woodruff. And Woodruff is still out there on the free agent market. And now the pitchers and catchers have reported the 60-day IL has opened up for teams. So they can transfer players to the 60-day IL and clear those 40-man roster spots. So any team could sign Woodruff right now and immediately place him on the 60-day so that he does not have to take up a 40-man spot. Previously, that's been essentially what has kept Woodruff on the market for so long, is the fact that a team would need to have him on their 40-man until spring training opened, and they could put him on the 60-day. So because of that, he remained unsigned. But now that window is open. Everyone can put him on the 60-day if they sign him. And Woodruff is still out there. So, Matt, I want to raise this idea about potentially the return of Brandon Woodruff to Milwaukee. Now, Matt Arnold said when they non-tendered him that they were going to keep the door open to Woodruff. Obviously, they'd love to have him back. They had a non-tender. It was a financial decision on the non-tender. And now that, I mean, you've seen this rotation go through a little bit of upheaval, I think, especially after the loss of Burns in the trade, if you can sign back Woodruff on a two-year deal, even though you know he's not going to pitch for you this year, but if you can sign him back and, you know, hope you can get something out of him in 2025, I think that would go a long way with the fans and go a long way with building some more excitement for this team, that it's not just, oh, everybody's going to go away. We're still willing to try to keep some of these guys.
Definitely. And like you said, I see it being way, way more of a possibility now that you don't have Burns to bring him in. Not even though the expectation is he would contribute next year, which you wouldn't have had Burns regardless. But I'd be more open to it now. I'd be nervous though, the fact that like there's still that uncertainty around that type of an injury, that type of shoulder injury, where there's no way to be sure that he will be totally fine in the same old Brandon Woodruff in 2025. And I have to imagine the type of contract you'd have to give him. You're going to be committing a decent amount of money. It'd be that backloaded type that we've talked about this whole time, 2 year, you know, basically nothing for this year, all of the value in 2025. But without really knowing what he might look like, if he would be back to, you know, full throttle, his good old self or anything like that next year, I'd be hesitant. As fun as it'd be to have Woodruff back, I don't know how I'd feel about committing that money for something that you can't guarantee working out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me nervous about that type of deal. If they did it, I would jump for joy. Don't get me wrong. But would I personally do it now? I don't know. And it's hard to say because I absolutely loved Woodruff, one of my favorite Brewers ever, but I'd be unsure about what you get out of him for the price.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that's going to be holding up his market as well, because he's going to want to, you know, get that backloaded deal to be something like what he would be worth based on his previous pitching. You know, but based on the numbers that he has put up in his career, he'd be worth a whole hell of a lot on a one-year deal. He really would. So I don't blame him for asking for it. I certainly wouldn't blame a team for giving it to him. Mm-hmm. But especially for a team like the Brewers, it's going to be difficult if you have to commit, say, $20 million to Woodruff for 2025, and you don't know if you're going to get the same Woodruff that you saw before. That may be a bridge too far for the front office. But for a team like maybe the Mets, maybe a little bit different, because they have a whole lot more money. David Stearns is running that front office over there. He's very familiar with Brandon Woodruff. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's something that's been rumored before. I could still see that being what happens. But Woodruff is still out there on the market. We haven't really heard anything about him much lately. I'd expect him to sign at some point soon and have someone just get him in and just focus on maybe next year. But he's still out there. And I think the longer that he is out there and the more that his price may fall, and it's no longer about the money, because the money from all these teams is probably going to be very similar. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's going to be jumping too far ahead of the rest of the group for Woodruff, because they know the same thing that we know, that he's not going to pitch this year, and you really don't know what kind of pitcher you're going to get next year from him. So I think with all those things considered, if the money is even just about across the board, I could see Woodruff being like, you know what, I'll just go back to Milwaukee and, mm-hmm. and just go and rehab with the place and the people that I am familiar with, and I can make my comeback season with the team that I am familiar with and go from there. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. It might just be wishful thinking for me, but I mean, he's still out there, so there's still a chance.
Right, and the Brewers also are going to be the one team out of all of them who are going to be most familiar with his situation and exactly how good of a chance he does have at bouncing back in a good way. They've seen, you know, all the medicals, they've seen everything, you know, up until the point that they non-tendered him. They are going to be as familiar as anyone with, you know, where he was at that point and whether he has the chance to do what they need him to do. So if the Brewers feel confident that it's something he can overcome and be that high level contributor in 2025, then yeah, they might have the leg up on actually going for it over some other teams who basically, you know, have to request those medical records and just, you know, hope for the best. So maybe, but yeah, I don't know that I would take that risk. But again, if the Brewers do, I'll be happy as hell.
Yeah, it's something that we'll see play out. There's still a lot of unsigned free agents out there. Cody Bellinger is still out there on the market. JD Martinez is still out there. I think the Brewers are just about done at this point with the guys that they have brought in. It really seems like they're not looking for any more of those big free agents. But I mean, who knows? I mean, Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are still out there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they could be reaching the point of looking at a short-term deal. Maybe that's something that the Brewers could jump in on. They certainly have opportunity in that rotation. With Burns gone now and Woodruff still out there. But again, that might just be more wishful thinking on my part, but Snell and Montgomery hanging out there, they're looking for that long-term deal. I'm really surprised that they haven't gotten it yet. Montgomery, I know he wants to go back to the Rangers, but the Rangers are having issues with their regional sports network, so they may not have the money. So he's still sitting out there and kind of waiting for that to finalize and hoping that they'll get the money. But Montgomery's out there. He could help this rotation. Blake Snell's out there. He absolutely could help this rotation. I'm not sure what their prices are going to be, how far they're going to drop, but pitchers and catchers have reported, and they're still out there. And historically, the longer they wait for those deals, the worse their season is going to be, especially this first season, if they're going multi-year deals. So they're going to want to get into a camp soon.
Yeah, it, for no other reason than to, like, you got to get built up for the season. Like, it's so much more important for the starting pitchers to get a deal soon and start getting acclimated, start, again, like, getting, you know, used to your catchers and start building up that pitch count through your Cactus League or Grapefruit League starts. You know, a hitter can come in and, you know, start, you know, get some cuts and be relatively fine, but, you know, starting pitchers are the one thing that takes a while to get ready for that regular season. And yeah, there's still plenty of them out there. Even, you know, Michael Lorenzen, kind of surprised the team hasn't grabbed him yet because he had a really good last year. Clevenger's still out there. Dick Mountain, I mean, Rich Hill is still out there.
Odorizzi, Ryu.
Odorizzi is starting to throw for other teams. I know he's a little bit special of a case because he's kind of coming back from injury. But yeah, all those players. Zach Greinke still technically out there. He could still sign.
Eric Lauer.
He's out there. Zach Greinke is 40, and he is 4 years younger than Rich Hill. That just blows my mind that Rich Hill is still able to be pretty dang good, honestly. Not too shabby still at his age. But
yeah, he can't really go 162 game season anymore. I think Hill's looking to sign like mid season and just kind of, you know, ramp up for the stretch run, because he ain't making it through 30 starts in a season anymore. He can't do it. But yeah, that's I think the position he's trying to put himself in. But yeah, so I mean, they could add a starter. The starters are out there. Perhaps Bruce could be opportunistic and sign someone if their price falls far enough. But yeah, it is currently you're looking at Freddie Peralta, you're looking at Wade Miley, Jacob Junis. And then you got a combination of several guys that could go in those final couple of spots in that rotation. You got Colin Ray, you got Joe Ross, you got Aaron Ashby, you got D.L. Hall, you got Carlos Rodriguez, you got Robert Gasser, you got Jansen Junk. So you got a whole bunch of guys that could be there. You don't have a ton of proven options. Ray was a solid innings eater last year. Ross missed the last 2 years because of injury. Ashby missed the last year because of injury. And then you got a whole bunch of prospects that just have not proven themselves at the big league level. So, I mean, they're talented. They could be good. Could they be good right away? I don't know. We've seen pitching development, you know, those rookie years for pitchers can be kind of rough. So who knows? But there is a lot of opportunity in that rotation. If the Brewers want something more settled, or if they want to bring in a veteran to actually make that rotation look strong again, start out strong, one of those veteran guys may be a big benefit.
Yeah, as much as they've got pitchers in the mix, they have a ton of options that they're going to work through and see who gets, in particular, that number five spot. Because we'll get to this a little later. I do feel like for the most part, their top four are pretty well settled. It would still be nice, and I very much would not be opposed to still bringing in a starter, just having a little bit more certainty in that rotation. Because as we know, injuries happen, poor performance happens. You know, give yourself even more of the depth at starting pitching, which we know isn't going to be as strong as it's been in recent seasons, and just help yourself out and throw another guy. I would like to point out, I was surprised to see this, that Rich Hill, by the way, pitched in 32 games last year, and 26 really? The year before that, and 32 the year before that.
As he a starter or reliever?
Mostly as a starter. Started 27 out of the 32.
Wow.
Yeah, Rich Hill apparently just keeps getting it done.
Somehow. Somehow he goes out there.
But he's not signed, so right now he's not getting anything done.
Right, of course not. Of course not. But yeah, so there's definitely different routes that they could go with that rotation and with this entire group. But it's going to be interesting. I do think that the Brewers do want to give the opportunities to the younger guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they have these guys coming up, Gasser and Rodriguez, Mizrowski not far behind them, D.L. Hall now in that group. You got Ashby. You know, those are the guys who you have several years of control over that you envision as part of the future of your rotation. because Wade Miley's not the future of your rotation. Jacob Junis is not the future of your rotation. So you have opportunities to earn those long-term spots alongside Freddy Peralta, who still has a couple years left on some options. But you got opportunity there. And I think the Brewers, based on what they've done for the past couple of off seasons, they've been about clearing room for opportunities for these younger players. They did it last year by trading away Hunter Renfroe and Colton Wong, clearing outfield spots, clearing infield spots for Terang and for Weimer and Mitchell and Frelick, and clear spot for all of them. And now it seems like they're clearing those same kinds of spots, but doing it in the rotation, clearing out Woodruff, although that was, I don't think, part of the plan until he injured his shoulder, but clearing out Burns. And that leaves plenty of opportunities. That leaves two spots, essentially, for Gasser, Rodriguez, Hall, and Ashby to kind of separate themselves and put themselves in and see who steps up along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. The big question is going to be, at what point do those young guys get the opportunities? And will it be right away on opening day? Is it going to be over the course of the season? For sure, like, I would be very surprised if at minimum DL Hall and Robert Gasser don't get a chance very early this season. But we could see Rodriguez. We could see Mizorowski. I know we'll see at least one Aaron Ashby start this year. Hopefully a bunch, personally. I hope he ends up working his way really into the equation. But a lot of season to go to figure out if that'll happen. And we also don't know, you know, as to his health and what exactly he's going to be looking like here. But there are going to be opportunities. The big question just will be, at what point during the season? But they're going to be there.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And spring training is where it starts. And this is where you can earn those opportunities later on in the season. A strong performance in spring, even if it doesn't get you an opening day roster spot, it can put you in line to be the next one that called up when an opportunity does arrive. Because injuries can happen. We saw that last year. With injuries hitting the rotation, especially early on in the season. And you can put yourself in that spot in spring training, but like, hey, you're a non-roster invite like Rodriguez or Gasser, you're not on the 40-man. So it's tough to make it out of camp. But once something happens, hey, they'll call upon you and you've put yourself in position to be that guy. So even if you don't get it right out of camp, you can put yourself at the front of the line as soon as the spot start opens up, and you can earn more opportunities from there. Colin Ray did that last year. Mm-hmm. Colin Ray, I mean, he was signed to a minor league deal, and he performed well in spring training, and he put himself in a position to where when the Brewers needed a start, they called upon Ray. And Ray came up, and he pitched incredibly well in those opportunities, and he ended up throwing nearly 125 innings for the team and earned himself another contract, a big league contract, with a nice big raise on it from last year's salary for this year. So the opportunity is certainly there. Colin Ray took it last year. Who's going to take it this year? Even if you don't make the opening day roster, you know, that could be something that Rodriguez does. It could be something that Gasser does. It could be something that, you know, who else? Jansen Junk. I'm not exactly expecting it from Jansen Junk, but it could be. Anything can happen. It's a brand new season, and that is what is so beautiful about spring training. It's a brand new season. Guys are showing up stronger. Guys are showing up with maybe a new changeup that they've been working on, because everyone's always working on a changeup in spring training. Maybe they've added a slider. Maybe they've added a cutter. Who knows what they've done in the pitching lab, but there's opportunities. These guys have been working all offseason to get better, and we'll see what changes that they've made will actually end up sticking, and who actually ends up getting better and stepping up. And that's part of what spring training is all about.
Yeah. Look a couple of years ago at Garrett Mitchell, who in spring training, like, looked fantastic, was really opening some eyes for Brewers fans. He doesn't end up coming up to the big leagues until quite a bit later in the season. But I think his spring performance really opened some eyes in the organization, really impressed some people. So that as he was kind of making his way up with, you know, it was him and Weimer and Frelick and, you know, that whole group was making their way up. Mitchell wasn't necessarily even the most impressive looking of the group at the time, but he ended up getting the call. Now, granted, he was a year older than Frelick, but same draft class as Weimer, albeit a first rounder. But still, I think his audition in the spring certainly had to have helped his cause. And Lo and behold, he ends up making it to the majors later in the year.
And one of the things that they did mention was the fact that he was in big league camp that year. Frelick and Weimer were not in big league camp at the start of that season. So Mitchell had already kind of known the guys. He had known the coaches. The coaches had known him. And that's another reason why they called upon him. Plus him being a year older, having an extra year of experience in the organization, that certainly helped. Even though there was no minor league season in 2020, the year that he was drafted. But yeah, that's exactly how it can play out. Just being in camp there, being able to impress the coaches and show what you can do with them, that is so important. So that's what we're going to see play out in this rotation, because it is going to be a dogfight for those spots. There's a lot of top prospects coming up, a lot of opportunities, and we'll likely see all of them throughout the year. Mizorowski, I've got my camp battles piece that's going to be coming up here on Reviewing the Brew. I didn't include Mizorowski in the competition for the starting rotation. Even though he's a starter, even though he's an invite to camp, I don't have him in there just because he is not going to be making this rotation out of spring training. He's just not. If the Brewers are going to continue to develop Mizorowski as a starter, which they say they will, he needs more time. He needs more innings with that down in the minor leagues. He had some great numbers last year. He also had some walk issues, and he got shut down for the last couple of weeks of the season. So if he's going to make it to the big leagues this year, which he very well could, he's going to need a lot more time to do it as a starter. And, you know, that could be late in the year. It could be second half of the season. We see Mizorowski as a starter. But if they wanted to just put him straight in the bullpen, they could do it right now.
Yeah, they very much could. Like, he's got that insane talent. He's got that insane ability to just miss bats.
But by throwing 103.
Yeah, exactly. Throwing his weight around, as they say. But again, long term, you know, I think they want him to be a starter. I think he wants to be a starter. They've clearly worked him up through the system to be a starter so far. So and until something kind of derails that, I would say that's the expectation. And long term with the Brewers, it's what they need. I mean, they're very well set in the bullpen right now, even with as I was going through my initial roster for opening day for the relief pitchers, I almost had the group set just with guys from last year who were almost mm-hmm. all impressive. So
and returning. You're
good. What's that?
And returning. The Brewers really didn't lose much from last year's group and free agency at all.
Right. And so now, not that they're all going to be here forever, but you've already got a solid group and you've kind of reinforced that with some depth along the way with some guys that, you know, we have yet to see how they're going to end up contributing to. So I think because of the fact that you're relatively set in the bullpen and that there is uncertainty around the starting rotation going forward, that's all the more reason to continue working Mizorowski out as a starter and letting him keep kind of building up and seeing what happens. Hopefully he sticks as it. If he ends up having to convert to relief at some point, fine, so be it. But stick with the plan for now, because if it works out, that is a huge weapon in your rotation once he ends up hitting the big leagues.
Not to drop this kind of comp on Jacob Mizorowski, but Josh Hader was a starter in the minor leagues, and he did not make a single appearance out of the bullpen in the minors. The Brewers brought him up, and they put him straight in the bullpen, and that's where he stayed. And mm-hmm. he signed a very large contract this offseason, being the top closer in baseball. So it's possible that that's the role that Mizorowski ends up finding as well, where they keep him as a starter for as long as they can. I finally realized, look, this guy's too talented of an arm to keep down in the minor leagues. Don't think he's going to make it as a starter. Let's just bring him up, put him in the bullpen, let them throw gas, and we can move forward from there. So that's entirely a possibility. If you want to see him this year, that's going to be the plan, I think. For Mizrowski to remain a starter, maybe more likely that we see him next year in the big leagues.
Yeah.
But at the very earliest, it would be late this season that we would see Mizrowski starting games for Milwaukee. So I don't see him making the opening day roster, but Matt, you mentioned it, your opening day roster prediction. Let's go through that, shall we? Let's go through where we think this opening day roster is, as we're 6 weeks away from opening day, pitchers and catchers just reporting. And it's always going to change, but here's one of the interesting things that sticks out to me, that I don't know if this is how it's going to end up working out. Three catchers on the opening day roster. You got William Contreras, Gary Sanchez, and Eric Haas. Now, all three are signed to major league deals. Eric Haas, we thought, was going to be the backup. And then they signed Gary Sanchez. It's like, huh, well, now what are we going to do? Three catchers is not a recipe that lasts very long on big league rosters, Matt. But you have three catchers to start the season. Just take us through your thought process behind keeping all three of them.
Yeah, honestly, my thought process between keeping all three of them is having Gary Sanchez primarily be a DH. Now, I didn't have a designated hitter spot in this opening day roster, because if you look at Gary Sanchez, I don't know that you necessarily just pigeonhole him there like you did with Jesse Winker, who very obviously was going to DH for the Brewers. So in the event that they carry those three catchers, I think it's because they carry Sanchez to really DH more than catch. You still give Haas a little bit of time to, you know, see if he can have that bounce back season. He had a poor 2023, but had decent seasons in 21 and 22. So he can bring something for the Brewers. At the same time, he's only set to make $1 million this year. If the Brewers ended up only carrying two, it's probably going to be Contreras and Sanchez, and Haas ends up getting the boot because you're not taking a big hit to the payroll if you do so. So entirely possible that happens. To start, at the very least, I have them going with all three.
Yeah, it's I'm very interested to see how that battle is going to play out, and if they end up carrying three, what the plan is with Sanchez. We'll likely hear more about that once he's officially signed and brought into camp and Pat Murphy can actually talk about him. Mm-hmm. and what the plan is there. But yeah, I think we're going to see him a bunch at DH, but it's going to be difficult for the Brewers to have your own, if they carry just two, if they just carry Contreras and Sanchez, having both of them in the lineup at once, I mean, that carries a ton of risk. If you're going to have Sanchez as your primary DH and Contreras catching, what if Contreras gets hurt? Oh, you have to throw Sanchez back there? Well, now you lost your DH.
Right.
And, you know, if Sanchez gets hurt, then, you know, somehow, you know, doing his DHing stuff, then, well, now you're without a backup catcher. So what are you going to do? So that puts them in a difficult spot as well. But carrying three catchers leaves your bench pretty short, because that just leaves one backup infielder, one backup outfielder. And the Brewers are already likely going to be carrying five outfielders when it comes to Yelich, Churio, Mitchell, Frelick, Weimer. I mean, they could option any of those other outfielders, but will they? I don't know. So it's going to put them in a very difficult spot either way. So I'm very interested to see where they go at the catcher spot. Moving down to the infield, Matt. Very interesting group. You got Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Terang, Willy Adames, Andrew Monasterio, Jake Bowers, and Owen Miller. No Tyler Black. No Joey Ortiz in this group. You left the two top prospects out. You have Andrew Monasterio winning that third base battle.
I do. I have him having the edge to start. This is already getting to the infielders. It gets so tough to this offense is so hard to project already. Partially because of the catchers. If you carry those three catchers, like you said, you're already short a roster spot, and it really that you see that start to already play in the infielders, and it will in the outfielders too, which we'll get to. So I actually, it's funny, I split these. I've got March Madness fever already. So I split these six into your locks, you're safely in, and you're on the bubble. So Rhys Hoskins and Willy Adames, your locks, obviously. You don't even have to talk about them. They're going to be there, obviously. As my safely in, I had Bryce Terang and Monasterio. Bryce Terang, I think the Brewers still want to see what they have there. He improved towards the end of the year. He's so good defensively, it's hard to, you know, start him in the minors. Mm-hmm. Andrew Monasterio, you know, we got that talk about him bulking up a little bit. He does offer some positional flexibility, and he was a consistent offensive player. And I think part of the reason that I kind of trended away from some of the younger guys is, you know, you heard Pat Murphy, whether he was joking or not, you heard him, you know, in talking about Churio, saying he'll be number 94 or whatever it is to me, you know, until he earns it. Now he's already changed his jersey number, so that part's kind of out the window. But it felt like it almost gave a little bit of insight as to how he might, you know, look at some of the young prospects that they're really, really going to have to earn their way onto the roster. Monasterio already had the chance to do that last year. So I have him as a relatively safely in, even if he made it as a utility guy. Mm-hmm. And then as you're on the bubble, I could see the final two spots here going so many different directions. To your dismay, I still have Jake Bowers. I wasn't going to predict him off the roster just yet, even though you don't get a whole lot of flexibility with him there. But you do have a backup on first base and a DH potentially. And then Owen Miller, I kind of, again, went with the familiarity aspect. He had his moments last year. He can play a lot of different positions all across the diamond. So it's you do get that out of him. So, yeah, I have them beating out Tyler Black, which I know a lot of fans are going to want to see him, and I want to see him too. And Joey Ortiz of that same, like, you know, he's going to have to earn his way onto the roster too, even being a highly regarded prospect.
Yeah, it is going to be tough for those guys, but it's definitely going to be tough for Black because he is not on the 40-man roster. Ortiz is already on the 40-man roster, so that does help him. But yeah, if it were me, Jake Bowers would not be on this list. If it were me writing this, be like, nope, see ya. Owen Miller can back up first base. Let's get literally anybody else. But all right, anyways. Moving on to the outfield. Christian Yelich, Jackson Churio, Sal Frelick, Garrett Mitchell are your four outfielders. Joey Weimer is conspicuously missing, but we're running out of position player slots with three catchers. Now you got six infielders. That leaves you with nine. So you got four spots left on a 13-13 split on a 26-man roster. So four outfielders, and you got the favorites there, and Weimer ends up being the odd man out despite playing the most time last season.
Right. But most of last season you didn't have Garrett Mitchell. So,
true.
We already talked about how much the Brewers love him. I think those four outfielders, Yelich, Churio, Frelick, and Mitchell, are pretty well set to be four outfielders who will be on the opening day roster. To me, it's just whether any other outfielders join them. And having only four is surprising. But again, if you go that three-catcher route, can't take away another infielder. I mean, we were already scraping for infielders, you know, talking about it just before this. So it's tough to carry that fifth infield. You could go 14 hitters and 12 pitchers at the very least to start the season. We're talking just the opening day roster. You do have a day off right after the first game. So, you know, ideally your pitchers would be fresh. So that's a possibility. But we'll actually get into why that would also be kind of tough to happen once we get to our pitchers. But that's why I've got those four, mostly because of what's happened in the rest of the offensive roster. But I do think those are basically your top four on the depth chart when it comes to the outfield, personally.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you there. I think those are your top four outfielders. Weimer, I think he very well could be the odd man out just because, I mean, even though he had the most at-bats last year, he didn't have the greatest performance. I believe he had the lowest performance of the three of them. You know, he does have the power that's there, but only 13 home runs last year. Going to need to find him more consistently. He struggled with breaking balls. Mm-hmm. Now he's reportedly made some adjustments to that so that he should be better at it. Did that late in the season. Didn't get a chance to see it much in game action last year, but perhaps we'll see that in spring training as that goes along. We still aren't in the games yet. But, yeah, I think Weimer right now would be the fifth man on the depth chart. And depending on how the rest of that roster shakes down, that could be the cut line for Joey Weimer. There's Blake Perkins and Chris Roller, but I really don't see them standing much of a chance of making the opening day roster unless you see, you know, knock on wood, hope this doesn't happen, but unless you see injuries to the group ahead of them, I don't see those guys making too much of a run at an opening day roster spot. So the outfield, yeah, you're carrying those top four pretty safely, and I think it's just going to end up being a question of roster math if Joey Weimer can make it after that. All right, moving down to the pitchers. 13 pitchers is the maximum that you can carry. Let's start in the rotation. Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, Jacob Junis. Okay, that's exactly how it should be. 1, 2, 3. Those are pretty much locked into place. The fourth and fifth spots are going to be a little bit more competitive. And Matt, you have Colin Ray and D.L. Hall finishing out this rotation over several other candidates. You don't have Joe Ross making this rotation. You don't have Robert Gasser making this rotation. What made you choose Ray and Hall to begin spring training here?
Yeah, Ray I have as the kind of the more obvious of the two. I just think, I don't think you brought him back not to be in the starting rotation. He's not getting optioned to the minors, obviously. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to be here on the roster, I think it's going to be as a starter. The reason you were so impressed by him and brought him back was because of exactly how he filled in the rotation. Was it always perfect? No, maybe not. But the Brewers still won more often when he was on the mound than they lost, and that was generally as a starter. So for him, I see it, his presence on the roster being as a starting pitcher. D.L. Hall, I am much less certain about. That could be just several coin flips to see who's going to be that fifth guy, and it really will be an open battle amongst several players to see who ends up winning that out. Really, some of the biggest logic I used for that one was he was part of the return for Corbin Burnes, who was your ace. You are going to want to see him be a starter to ultimately replace him in the rotation to replace what you lost. And if that's sooner rather than it is later, then so be it. I know he wants to be a starter, and it sounds like the Brewers want him to be a starter. So that's what they're going to attempt to do. And so I think he'll get that chance. And he's got some stuff. I mean, he's got an 80 grade fastball by Baseball America. Like he's got some quality. We know that the control is an issue, but also it's the Brewers pitching development. But yeah, I mean, between him, I did mention Joe Ross. I did mention Aaron Ashby. Again, I don't have certainty around Ashby until I see him on a mound, you know, looking good and pitching at least a few innings in a row to know for sure that he's going to be able to get one of those spots. I think eventually he'll work his way into it, but for opening day, I'm not willing to kind of write that check, I guess, right away. So I'm going with Hall for now. I even say in the text, for now, we're going with D.L. Hall, but that is very much subject to change.
Yeah, I definitely think it is. But I think as it lines up right now, those are your top guys. I could definitely see that being the starting rotation as it stands. Just, yeah, I totally agree. Hall, because he was part of the return for Burnes, the Brewers believe he's going to be a starter. I think they're going to throw him out there as a starter to begin the season. So I definitely think he has a leg up there in that battle. Colin Ray, I also think he's got the inside track to that spot in the rotation. But yeah, plenty of contenders, and we'll have to see how spring shakes out before things change there. Moving on to the bullpen. This is where those final few spots it always comes down to. You have Devin Williams, ooh, big shocker right there. Abner Uribe, Yoel Piamps, Elvis Peguero, Bryce Wilson, Trevor McGill, Hobie Milner, and Joe Ross. So really, you're returning pretty much the entirety of last year's bullpen, and you're adding in Joe Ross as the long man out of the bullpen, just missing out on the rotation. No Aaron Ashby, though, making this opening day roster. Very interesting.
Nope, and what that really comes down to is Joe Ross not being optionable and Ashby being optionable. Simple as that. Joe Ross, you know, there's a chance, again, you know, that Joe Ross doesn't make the opening day roster, like the Brewers roster, period, come opening day. Same thing with an Eric Haas, you know, some of those guys who are making less money, but technically on a major league contract, but I'm not making that prediction yet. We are early. There is still all spring to kind of work that out. So as opposed to assuming people not making it to opening day, I'm putting Joe Ross on the roster as a reliever. I think, you know, the way his pitch repertoire works, I could see him being the 2024 Bryce Wilson, essentially. Bryce Wilson was a guy who, you know, there were questions coming in, like, you know, he needed to rebuild his value a little bit after disappointing some in Pittsburgh, in Atlanta. Were the Brewers going to try and have him start? Were they going to try him relieve? He did some long relief early. Bryce Wilson ended up being fantastic in 2023. And so I could see the Brewers doing a, you know, similar reclamation job with Joe Ross as a reliever. So, you know, whether that's where he sticks, whether he sticks at all, I don't know. But I give him that last spot because of the fact that he can't be optioned. And I'm not kicking people, just like Jake Bowers, I'm not kicking people off the roster just quite yet in this prediction piece.
Yeah, spring training just getting started. We have not even gotten into games yet. So a lot is going to change between now and then. And in all likelihood, Matt, you're not going to be batting 1,000 on this roster prediction, because I don't think anyone's 26-man roster prediction at the outset of spring training has ever been 100% accurate. There's always things that end up happening between now and then, but we give it our best shot. All right. It's the same thing with March Madness. Are we ever 100%? Absolutely not. Do we do it every single year anyways? You bet your ass we do. So we shall see, but baseball is back. That is the most important part. Pitchers and catchers have reported, and it's baseball season. Football season is done. Taylor Swift season is done. Just kidding. Taylor Swift season is apparently never done.
Never.
But football season is done, and now we can fully move into baseball. Feeling warmer? Just thinking about it. Just thinking about Arizona. Feeling warmer already. That'll do it for us. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Again, I am at DGasper24. Matt is at MKEMatt13. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week for another edition of the Cold Brew Podcast.